You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hola, amigos. Got plenty to get into today. Yes, the Saints are off on the weekend. Tulane's off on the weekend. LSU's got a huge game coming up this weekend. We'll get into all of that and more. Your usual hump day list of guests and a couple of additions as well. We'll have some fun today while we keep our eye and thoughts and, of course, prayers to our friends over to the east over in the Florida Panhandle. My goodness, have y'all seen that thing? Is what, 5 miles an hour away? It's 150 miles an hour right now, Hurricane Michael. It's 5 miles away from a Category 5. A Cat 4 has never hit the Panhandle of Florida. They've never got hit by hurricane. It's crazy. They were saying that as well, too, in this month of October. So, it's so scary because it happened so fast, Joey. I remember being over the weekend and everyone saying, there's something developing. We might get something next week. And for a second, they thought that it might come this way. But what's nuts is the storm is so big and powerful. You notice that.
It's unusual for October. Very. Yeah.
Well, it's quiet in here because Jordan, the intern, couldn't get here. I know it's crazy. You look outside, there's bright sunshine. You might see some of those wisps of strands and bands of clouds, which is crazy this morning, seeing the planes take off over the house, going through bands from all the way from Michael. But, it's nuts. It's not raining in front of us right here, right now. But there's water. West End has been closed. They closed the flood gates and stuff because the water is rising from the lake. And where Jordan lives on the North Shore over there, he can't get out of his neighborhood. So it's nuts to think that the storm is all the way over there by Panama City. And Apalachicola is kind of where the eye is going in, and landfall is at any minute, essentially, is what the Weather Channel is saying, and 150-mile-an-hour winds. So we wish everyone the best. I got lots of friends over the Pensacola area, and I was texting back and forth with them as well. But Joey, over there in Grand Isle and stuff, too, they've had water rising.
Yeah, some places 2 to 3 feet. The road around Port Fouchon, which a lot of fishermen in this area are familiar with, and especially in the Terrebonne area that fishermen that listen to our show are familiar with. Here goes my Cajun. Pontchartrain, Montague, Bayou de Large, La Perouse Canal. Where you are at for the remote, you cannot go 2 miles south anymore now. It's shut down. And that's just in the 3 days. What, 3 days?
Yeah.
And y'all are there.
No, it's incredible. It's the east wind that's coming. Obviously, as it moves north, every report that I'm seeing and reading is that the water will go down. Right now, the reason the water is rising is because of where it is.
Welcome to Louisiana.
The storm coming in. But again, just it's incredible, too. When you look at the radar imagery, you look at the satellite imagery, you look at the space scenes and shots from the space station. I mean, it is textbook, right? I mean, it is what you think a storm is supposed to look like that. A massively defined eye. I mean, when you look at it from the satellite, it's almost about the width of Lake Pontchartrain, you know, when you think about it like that. So it's big. But we'll keep you posted if anything goes on. Obviously, that affects us over here. But just kind of keep your mind over there because those folks they're about to go through some stuff right now. The storm surge, anywhere between 9 to 14 feet where the eye wall is coming in. Just think of how tall that is. So we'll keep our eyes out on that. Joey, let's welcome everyone to the Midway Point of Your Work Week and get going.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is?
It's hump day.
Hump day! I know you can hear me. Let's get stupid.
Today's more
than
what, that Camel Wednesday, hump day,
is that
what
it is? Shot team, a digital underground, a camel. And head coach Sean Payton. I think he has a little place over there. Just east of Destin and stuff. There's lots of folks going vacation over in that panhandle area. But today's show is going to be fun. First, some words of wisdom from Shot team.
And to all the ladies, peace.
and humpiness forever.
It can mean whatever you want. That's what we love about the words from Shock G. On your normal Wednesday, Chip Patterson, CBSSports.com. Coming up next segment, we'll take a look back and a look ahead at college football top 25 action. LSU, Georgia, of course, one of the key marquee matchups going into this weekend. 13th-ranked Tigers, 2nd-ranked Bulldogs, the 2:30 game on CBS. I'm sure he'll be a part of that. He told us a couple weeks ago he'll be coming down to Baton Rouge for that game. He'll be part of the CBS HQ part of the broadcast, which is the live online all the time stuff that goes on at CBS. So we'll get into that. His thoughts on Florida. I'm still looking for yours as well. Look, yesterday obviously was a ton on the Monday Night Football game. Drew Brees, the disrespect that the national folks were giving to him, you know, and all of that stuff. So we really haven't gotten to the LSU's loss against Florida and the upcoming game against Georgia. So I want to hear from you Tiger fans on that as well. Anything you want me to ask Chip too, feel free. Pass along our way at GCAT_17 or at ESPN Radio NOLA. So Chip's coming up at 12:15. At 12:30, Sean Fazan, Fox 8. We'll get us started on our Saints conversation. They're off this week. I get it. But it's the time to kind of take a look at this team as a whole and per group and position. We're going to have some fun with that because what I've done today, and especially the whole last hour, I got no guest in hour three. Got all my guests in hour one and two. Because in hour three, Sharif Eishak from Channel 6 WDSU is going to come in studio. We're going to just chat. Just like, you know, we're sitting there having some wings, watching a game, and just going back and forth. We're going to go through the position groups. I think this will be fun, right? It's one of the best ways to kind of look at where this team is. Because this is what Sean Payton said in the past he's done. During the bye week, you know, self-evaluate. What worked? What hasn't worked? What did you like? What did you not like? What are the tendencies so far, you know, et cetera. We'll take a look at the schedule as well from here on out. Joey, some interesting things when you look at the Saints' schedule. You realize there's only 4 more noon games the rest of the way. They've only played 5. Only 4 more noon games. 4 primetime games still to come. And 3 late afternoon games still to come. So we're now in game 1 of the next quarter of the season for the Saints. The next 3 games in this next quarter of the season, quarter 2. Remember quarter 1, they went 3-1. Quarter 2 led off with the win against the Redskins. Next is at Baltimore. That's a 3:05 kickoff, a late afternoon kickoff. And then it's at the Vikings. That's a Sunday night game. So the next 2 games aren't noon games. And then the next home game, you got to wait till next month, Joey. That is November 4th when the L.A. Rams and Brandon Cooks and Jared Goff and that dastardly young, good-looking head coach who seems to think he has everything, Sean McVay, he's here too.
Thank you for keeping your yeah, language exactly. That yeah, we well, can stay yeah. on the air.
Dang, well, thank you. 3:25 is that kickoff. So next 3 games for the Saints, 3:05, 7:20, 3:25. So there you go. Those are the next 3 games. Again, I said going into the Washington game, I 2-2. Gotta be 2-2. You can get to 3-1. Remember what Fletcher said yesterday on the show? 3-1 puts the Saints at 6-2 at the halfway point. He says 6-2. This team's gonna be the second seed at the very least. That home field advantage is great. If you get it, the year they won the Super Bowl, you got to get that second seed. Get that second seed. If you can get that second seed, you saw what happened the year they won the Super Bowl. You were home. You were home throughout. You got the host. It was yours, right? People came in. Get that second seed, you don't know what happens with that first seed. You can host throughout, right? I mean, that second seed, at the very least, you only got 2 games. That's the most important thing to me. 2 games. Rather than 3. If you can do that and host that first one, great. Then that next one, let's see what happens. If you got to play the Rams at L.A., all right, okay, that's fine.
Sure.
You know, but never know. The Rams got to win that game. If they don't, you win yours being the second seed. NFC Championship game is back in the Superdome. So I think that's the key. Get that second seed would be awesome. Man, if they can go 6-2 at the halfway point, it's not too bad. Looks not too bad. And again, we're going to go through all this again in hour three and really kind of get into it a little bit here as well. But just to kind of give you a snapshot, right? So I gave you the rest of this quarter of the season. And man, if they can go 3-1, right? At Baltimore, again, just quick overview, seeing them play. And Joey, your Browns just beat them.
Sure.
The Browns, I told you, I thought they were a good team this year. They were going to be in games.
I'm asking
and they have
this.
Been. Sure.
Do you feel better of the game between New Orleans and Cleveland?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Now, seeing
absolutely.
The way they play. I mean,
absolutely.
Our goal is to tie everybody.
Yeah.
And it's working.
That is a good goal for Joey. That is true. But look, here's the thing. If you can do that, I think you have more offense than Baltimore right now. They definitely don't want to get in a shootout with you, okay? So, look, it's the only team the Saints haven't beat. It's at Baltimore. You're coming off a bye. Let's say I give the Saints the edge there. Is it too early? It'll be October 28th. But you can maybe make a statement game and really make that November 4th game a, all right, you better start thinking of us as a team that can win the NFC. You go to Minnesota and win that game. You have the revenge factor. You have, you know, the fact the last two times you played them, you have a lot there. If you can go to Minnesota, win that Sunday night game, you've guaranteed winning that quarter of the season, okay, and you're 3-1 at worst. You lose to the Rams, you're 3-1, there's your 6-2. So I'm circling already here on my sheet of paper that Vikings game. Yeah, the Rams game, man, of course it's huge. It's, you know, potentially the number one team in the NFC coming into your place. The place is going to be nuts. It's a late afternoon game with Joey, which means you can sleep in a bit or start drinking at 8 o'clock in the morning like a normal Saints club. But it's 3 o'clock. No excuse for that dome not to be packed at kickoff. Sauce, get ready to go. I get that. I do. It's awesome. I think that Viking games means more. Maybe I'm wrong on that. I'll ask y'all as well, 800-998-1003. I think that Vikings game right now, and I'm not overlooking Baltimore, but based off of what I've seen the last couple of games, and what I mean by that is the defense has held, you know, three teams to under 100 yards rushing. Falcons, Giants, and Redskins. 100 yards. They haven't got to it. Closest was in the 60s, right? 60-some-odd yards. Okay, that's good. We've seen back-to-back games where the secondary has gotten an interception. We've seen back-to-back games where getting some pressure and some sacks. 4-3, I think. So, hey, that's good. You're getting better on that side of the ball. And what I saw Monday night was an offense that finally had all its components on the field that we saw in training camp. Now you got to get them some snaps on the field together. And now the most difficult thing Sean Payton has to do is figure out how it all fits and how it all goes. Because Drew Brees has weapons. And I would put the Saints offense against the Rams offense. Absolutely. That game can be assured. Just try to stop them. They can run it. They can screen out of the backfield with both backs. Pick a receiver. Sean Payton, to me, Sean, the next couple of days, you got to figure out how to get Traquan Smith involved. That second touchdown, good. That was for him. Awesome. That first touchdown, three different parties said that was supposed to be for Cameron Meredith. Breeze threw it to Traquan. I get it. You got to find a couple of plays for Traquan Smith. Ted Ginn hadn't played, right, because his knee. Where do you put him involved? So there's some stuff for Sean to think about here. Take some days off, but he's got some thinking to do. But that makes me confident going into Baltimore. I do think Drew Brees finally beats the Ravens. I do think you get a win out of the bye. Historically, the Saints have been really good out of the bye under Sean Payton. That Vikings game, man. That Viking game is a statement game to me. It's go exercise your demons. It's second win on the road. It's winning the second quarter of the season. That's why, to me, my opinion, it's more important than the Rams game. You got so many games before and after that Rams game. The battle for first and second seeds not going to be determined there. Yes, you'll have the tiebreaker against them. Great. But that Vikings game might have the tiebreaker against them. Look, they're 2-2 right now. They needed that win over the weekend. But they're battling Chicago in the North. Again, I think you can go beat Baltimore. And I think from what I've seen this year, I think the Saints can absolutely compete with Minnesota and can beat them. Now go do it. Rams look good, man. Rams look good. I'm not saying the Saints aren't as good and can't beat them. Hey, let's see. Kick it off. 3:25. Let's see. But that Vikings game to me, because it wins you the second quarter of the season and gets you the tiebreaker if they can turn it up. I mean, look, Chicago right now is 3-1. But again, their defense is playing really well. Their offense really not spectacular. Green Bay has issues with their offense. The team that I told you yesterday scared me in the South really is Carolina. Let's see what Tampa does this week. They're at Atlanta. Jameis Winston's coming back as the starter. Right? Let's see what the Panthers can do here. But you look at it, it's funny. As we go to break here, points for, right, and points against. When you click on the standings, that's what stands out. In the NFC South, the Saints, 180 points against, have given up 140. The Panthers have scored 104 and have given up 91. It's the fewest in the division. Boy, Atlanta, this is why they're 1-4. They've given up 163 points. That's the most in the NFC. It's the most. They've scored 133. They put up the points, but again, they've given up 163. That's why they've had the trouble this season. So Rams have given up 98 and have scored 173. Remember, Saints have scored 180. Rams have scored 173. And the points against, the Rams have given up 98. Saints 140. We'll get into a little bit more of these breakdowns here in a quick second. Don't forget, hour one is brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. You've been injured in an accident. Ring the King, 504-909-KING and kinginjuryfirm.com. Chip Patterson, CBSSports.com. Take a look at the top 25 action. We'll do that next. When you come back to the Sports Hangover right here on ESPN New Orleans. But I can't follow.
Hi, I'm Jason Giles with the King Firm.
In New Orleans, there's only one king to ring when it comes to personal injury.
If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King at 909-KING.
It's the 50th anniversary of Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, and Homa. Hurry in for a great deal at their summer clearance event. See their impressive lineup of new commercial trucks and vans. Southland Dodge has the perfect vehicle for your business with Ram's long-lasting new pickups or their efficient new Ram work vans. Choosing the right one should be easy. Get more for your business with a new Ram truck or van at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat at 6161 West Park Avenue in Homa. Here for you yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Napa Know How. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on parts and accessories. 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. That's a bag you just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How. Napa Know How. At participating Napa Auto Parts stores, while supplies last. Minimum 3 items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/18.
Rogers Parts, nationally known, locally owned. Lockwood, Morgan City, Libertyville, LaRose, and Galliano.
What's the call? Associated Pump and Supply with 30 years plus of dewatering experience. Our staff will size up your job and solve your drainage issues in no time. From large-scale municipal dewatering projects to smaller residential jobs. Call Associated Pump and Supply, 985-851-7077 or visit AssociatedPump.com. Associated Pump and Supply, a proud sponsor of the Nicholl State Colonels.
See us at Lady of the Sea Community Pharmacy to hear about ways we may be able to save you money on your prescription medications. We accept most major insurances, and we also offer discounts through our 340B prescription program. Our friendly staff will take the time to review your prescriptions with you and assist in figuring out which programs will save you the most money. Come by our location in Frank's Supermarket in LaRose or call 693-9260 for more information. We look forward to being your community pharmacy.
Join us for varsity football coverage, 6:30 pregame and 7 o'clock kickoff. Friday, October 12th at St. LaFouche versus Morgan City. Our broadcast is sponsored by Bob Dewey, candidate for Greater LaFouche Port Commission, CG, New Friend Building Materials, Lady of the Sea General Hospital, State Bank and Trust Company, State Senator Gary Smith, Total Urgent Care, and Frank's Supermarket. Friday Night Football on 100.3 FM and 1600 AM KLEB.
Accidents and injuries can put your life on the sideline.
In New Orleans, there's only one king to ring when it comes to personal injury.
If you've been injured in an accident, ring the king at 909-KING.
Got a hot take?
I've got something to say.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003 or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA.
I'm a communicator.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Well, better than Ezra. We forgot yesterday, caught up in all the Drew Brees and Saints victory celebration show that we had. Forgot Tunes Tuesday, every Tuesday here on the Sports Hangover at sportshangovermusic@gmail.com. That's the email. We want you to send your MP3s, any of your local music. We want to feature local artists. Make sure that we get their sounds out and about. And we'll use that for in and out of breaks. Have a little fun. So, again, artist you know, artist you don't know. That's kind of the whole point. At Chip underscore Patterson is the way to follow Mr. Chip Patterson over on Twitter. Each and every Wednesday, he joins us here on the show from CBSSports.com. And the face behind CBS HQ, at least on Saturday on game days. What's up, man? You looking forward to being in Baton Rouge?
Yeah. I had this one circled for a long time. And so I'm excited to be able to get down there. There's obviously no shortage of storylines, no shortage of, you know where each team could go after this. I would have liked an LSU win against Florida. That would have changed the stakes a little bit, but nothing, no luster loss on this game. I was reading, getting lost in Sports Illustrated's recap of the 2003 LSU Georgia game, and mm-hmm. just, you know, these are two power programs that we don't get to see all that often, and I think that it's worth taking some time within the context of the crazy year in, year out SEC schedule to appreciate when they do line up in the rotation.
All right, so back-to-back weekends, LSU is going to be part of the CBS game of the week there at 2:30. So let's kind of start there, Chip, with the Florida and the LSU game last week. I was talking about last week sort of as, okay, show me if you are elite or not. I think you and I sort of talked about it, right, when it comes to Ohio State and LSU, where are you? I thought this year was a year for me. If I'm at Ogeron, I wanted to be a team that was competitive, that showed the fan base, definitely I'm going that way. More importantly, the 2019 recruiting class, make sure that Verbal really is a signature type season, right? Play well, show me you're going the right direction. So I look at that loss last week and I'm like, all right, you know, I'm not bothered by it. You still have plenty of season ahead of you. Georgia, Alabama still coming. You win those games. You can still do stuff. So I didn't feel like it was the end all be all. What did you take out of that loss?
Lost opportunity. I mean, I agree with you that I'm not changing my big picture expectations of what LSU can be, mm-hmm. but I mean, we were talking about the potentially best resume in all of college football when you factor in win at Auburn, win against Miami at a neutral site, and then you add a win at Florida in Gainesville, and I think Florida was coming into that game with some juice after beating Mississippi State, and I think that Florida will go on to win enough games that could have been a quality win at the end of the season. That could have been a top 25 win when it comes to comparing resumes. I think that we need to stop thinking that we live in a world where only one team from every Power 5 conference is going to be making it into the college football playoff. And I preach along with anybody that we need to – you know, pause, and we need to take this week by week and conference by conference. You got five Power 5 champions, and, mm-hmm. you know, four of them are going to make the playoffs. No, I think last year broke the matrix. I think that when Alabama lost in the Iron Bowl and then did not play in the SEC championship game only to make the college football playoff, but then after making it, affirm that decision and go on and win it, I think the rules are out the window. And, you know, LSU could have been in a position where you go into that Alabama game undefeated And it might not matter for the college football playoff what happens because the rest of your resume is so strong. And so where I was looking at LSU, wondering if they could make a college football playoff run, even with a potential loss to Alabama on the schedule, they needed to win that game. So it's a lost opportunity because now they cannot afford another loss because one more loss takes them out of the playoff race.
Yeah, no doubt. Let's look at the rest of some of the games from last week as well. Clemson 63-3 over Wake Forest. Was that a, come on, stop it. Anybody that thinks we're not a top team, here you go. That's kind of how I took that game.
Yeah, and I mean, Wake Forest is in trouble. This is the, you know, Wake Forest is a very good program that is struggling on defense. They've already fired their defensive coordinator, but they can't fire all the players they got on defense. And so the big takeaway for Clemson right now is actually that it wasn't Trevor Lawrence, their star freshman quarterback, who did play the whole game after taking a head injury the previous week against Syracuse. He played the whole game, but, I mean, he wasn't the reason they were winning. Clemson, in his absence and with this scare, has really had to start learning about whether or not it's going to be a power run team. And Travis Etienne, who's from Louisiana, who's a very, very talented and a highly rated back coming out of high school, he's a sophomore now, and he's finally starting to get his feet under him. And I've been using this as my call out for Clemson. Remember that we loved Deshaun Watson, but one of the reasons why those Clemson teams made the college football playoff was by a running back by the name of Wayne Gallman. And oftentimes, when the passing game became stagnant, they had to lean on the hard running of Wayne Gallman. I think Travis Etienne is settling into that role, and as Clemson becomes a better team at running the ball, that is going to make them a much more consistent elite team and one that can avoid the loss that could keep them from the playoffs.
Two other games from last week, and we'll wrap up with next week quickly here in the next 4 minutes. Notre Dame, Virginia Tech. I was impressed, man, by that win. Virginia Tech came, they hit them quickly, then Notre Dame showed they were the better team. And I told you, there he is, Tom Herbin in Texas. What a win there, 48-45. What a comeback by Oklahoma, but big win for the Longhorns.
Yeah, shout out to Brady Quinn, who joined me on the 24/7 Sports College Football podcast this week. He made a great comparison. He said, Notre Dame is the college basketball team that makes the Final Four with juniors and seniors. You know, whether it's a Villanova or a North Carolina, like, they're the anti-one and done. Notre Dame just has a ton of experienced veterans who know their assignments. They're always in the right spot, and that's particularly on the defensive side. And I think that that is going to be the role that Notre Dame plays in this, where we are being wowed by Tua and the rest of those stunning sophomores, Jake Fromm and all the young players at Georgia. Notre Dame is playing the four-year players kind of card in this national championship race, and I think that that's going to be something that fits them well. And for Texas, hey, this is not good for Oklahoma, and this is not good for the Big 12. Is Texas going to be able to run the table and be that team, that league's champion? I don't know, but they've got head-to-head wins over Oklahoma and TCU. So now Oklahoma, West Virginia, and TCU, according to my math, are now fighting for one spot in the Big 12 championship game. Who's going to get it? We won't know till November, but it's going to be interesting to watch.
Yeah, no doubt. Washington, Oregon in 30 seconds here. Can this be a fun game to watch at 2:30?
Yeah, of course it can be a fun game to watch. it kind of feels like a game that Oregon wins in a boring manner. You know,
really?
Like where Justin Herbert ends up throwing two bad interceptions and we keep waiting for Oregon to come back. If Oregon gets it done, it's going to be because they're going to be really, really physical at the line of scrimmage and try and make life really tough for Jake Browning, because Washington is just so solid and consistent everywhere else. They're not sexy at all, but I don't know, after watching Oregon crumble against Stanford, I don't know if they've got the good, and I think it's fair to question that.
All right, let's wrap up with Georgia and LSU. You'll be in Baton Rouge, part of the coverage. How do you see it going? You got a shot for the Tigers here?
Yeah, I think LSU wins.
Whoa!
I'm not ready to just flip this thing in reverse, you know? Like, I am not all the way there with Georgia yet. And if I'm not all the way there with Georgia, this is a big ask for Georgia. They've got Florida coming up. They've got this LSU game. They go to Kentucky. Like, this is a really, really challenging stretch for the Bulldogs, and I don't think that they're there yet. And so I give LSU a great chance to keep this game close and a decent chance to win with the home field advantage. This is going to be Jake Fromm's toughest road regular season environment, and so I'm curious to see how it goes.
Yeah, you know, and quite honestly, this is what the stories of Tiger Stadium being this magical. I mean, it's games like this, right? You got to have a game that matters. You got to have highly ranked teams and a competitive nature. And I think this is what I'm excited about. Again, we're going to talk later this week with Skylar Green. That's what I remember from him in his time at LSU's, that catch against Georgia in the end zone. So let's see if we'll have a magical moment, man. Tell the folks what you're going to be a part of, obviously, so we can all be a part of it as well. And if you see Chip walking around looking for some food at tailgate, take care of him, Tiger fans.
I'm going to be walking around with the camera crew. We are profiling the tailgating scene. So not only offer up food, but offer up your take. You know, we'd love to get you on camera talking about why tailgating at LSU is better than anywhere else in the entire country. I will be wearing a Navy CBS Sports polo. Flag me down. Say, hey, Chip, come on over. Let's talk. I'll be on CBS Sports HQ pregame, halftime, and postgame show. You can watch it on CBS Sports HQ, or if you are a cord cutter, watching the game for free through the CBS Sports app on your Apple TV or Roku device, Amazon Fire, you know, that is where I'll be as well. Listen to the 24/7 Sports College Football podcast because I host it, put a lot of work into it all during the week, and yeah, I mean, I'm excited about it. Go Tigers!
Nah, sounds good. Look, trust me, not only are you picking them to win, I'm going to put this out the next 3 days to tweet at you locations, what they got coming for you, so they can try to help you out with your prep here. I'm going to have people tweet at you to come see you at certain tailgate areas, man.
Yeah, please do. That's awesome.
I definitely will. Thank you, Chip. Appreciate it.
Cool. Thanks, guys.
Yep, at Chip_Patterson. That's it. Listen to that Twitter account if you're going to be tailgating over the next couple of days. I say that, you know, obviously Friday night, Saturday, he's looking for you. He's going to bring a camera. He wants to put you on and spotlight. And you heard the question. Why is tailgating at LSU better than everyone else? Here's your chance to prove why. So I'm going to give that out a few more times the rest of the week. Coming up next, though, Sean Fazan from Fox 8 Sports. We'll talk some Saints. And hour one is brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King, 504-909-KING, kinginjuryfirm.com. Sean's up next on ESPN New Orleans.
Oh, yeah, for over 65 years, Golden Motors has been your local Chevy Buick new car dealer. I'm sure you've seen us around supporting our local schools, charities, and organizations. That's just our way to say thanks to all of you for being there for us at Golden Motors. Looking for a new Chevy or Buick? Or looking for that new or pre-owned any make and model? Give us a call at 325-1000 or visit us on the World Wide Web at goldenmotors.com. Golden Motors, Chevy, find new roads.
T-Bob here, and when my AC needs repair, I call the experts at River City's Total Maintenance. They're fast, they're professional, and they'll come out the same day you call. That's right, the same day, and they get the job done right. Couple that with the 2 and 3 year warranties and a 100% money back guarantee, and you cannot go wrong, my friends. So if you need same day AC service, critical in this heat, call River City's Total Maintenance at 504-841-3300. That's 841-3300, and tell them T-Bob sent you.
Drop-In Fix is Bayou Country's premier technology one-stop shop. From iPhones and Galaxies to iPads and tablets, Drop-In Fix has quick turnaround service for all your devices. Stop by our Houma or Thibodaux locations or find us on Facebook. From laptops and desktops to TVs and printers, Drop-In Fix can get your devices back up and running in no time. Drop-In Fix, the Tri-Parish's premier technology one-stop shop.
Do you know if you have the right insurance coverage? Or do you feel like you're paying too much for your car, home, or business insurance? Look, if you hesitated, you need to contact Bourgeois Insurance in Thibodaux. Owner agent Price Bourgeois will personally help you find the coverage you need. And because he's an independent agent, he can find the right coverage that fits your budget. Hey, there shouldn't be any doubts about your insurance. Call 985-803-8999 or log on to 123myquote.com. Bourgeois Insurance in Thibodaux. Home, commercial, auto.
Want more from your bank? Open a Cajun Pride checking account at State Bank and Trust Company and enjoy the benefits. Unlimited check writing, overdraft protection, online banking, mobile banking, debit card, ID theft assistance, safe deposit box discounts, prescription drug discounts, shopping, travel, entertainment discounts, and much more. Call or come in for more information about applicable fees and terms. State Bank and Trust Company. Cajun banking served just the way you like it. State Bank and Trust Company, member FDIC.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
I forgot about Tune Tuesday yesterday. Tune Tuesdays from here on out in the Sports Hangover. Nothing but local music, new and old local music. So feel free to send your tunes, MP3 forms, sportshangovermusic@gmail.com. Sean Fazan joins us to talk a little Saints here as well. You can follow him on Twitter at Sean Fazan Fox 8. You got any local music you want to send our way, bud? Can you sing?
No, I'm good on that, man. But I like the DJ that they were throwing at the dome the other night. That was pretty good. Throw a little Nola bounce rap in.
I like that. Yep, Michael Thomas dancing around. It was awesome. Dude, were you surprised by all how do we put this? The Skins being upset by Michael Thomas. I hadn't heard about that. I mean, is that who Michael Thomas is? Does he get under people's skins like that?
I wasn't surprised that if you really watch him, especially his body language during a game, I mean, he is not afraid to jaw with the defender. And he was a little over the top, though, Monday night. I don't know if something happened during the week, but, I mean, he was jawing after every play. And in plays where he wasn't even getting the ball. I mean, you know, we had Deuce on our show last night, and he said, you know, that excessive celebration penalty after the Breeze touchdown was actually Michael Thomas getting in the face of Norman, who blew the coverage, and they were drawn back and forth, and they called him for personal foul or unsportsmanlike conduct or whatever. But I thought he went a little overboard. I think Sean Payton thought he went a little overboard, especially with the ski mask, and then the Twitter beef until 2 a.m. was a little interesting as well. But that's Michael, though, man. He kind of creates an enemy, you know, and that enemy must be destroyed on game day. And hey, I mean, who am I to say it doesn't work? I mean, it certainly worked this far.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, we got a handful of questions, about 5-6 minutes here, so let's fly through them, Sean. Thoughts on Breeze and the record? You were there.
Awesome night, awesome moment. I've said this before, I don't think any athlete at any sport has maximized his talent, his God-given talent, more than Drew Breeze. Like I've said before, he wasn't born on third base. He didn't win the genetic lottery. He's had to literally work and outwork everyone to get where he's at, and I think it was an awesome moment. It happened picture perfect script, euphoric in the dome. It was just it was a great night.
Mark Ingram comes back to the team, gets 2 touchdowns. You knew he'd have some sort of impact. When you were watching the game, I know you like to watch it from a film standpoint, almost a technical standpoint. What did you see on how he affects the Saints offense?
Yeah, he definitely kind of brings the hammer a little bit. And he likes contact. He's more of a slashing runner than he is a straight bulldozer, but still, he kind of plays better within contact. Finished up right where I thought he would, carries wise, with 16. I thought it would be 15. Certainly was not rusty, looked good, and I thought that he was brought an element to the Saints that they can use.
When you look at not only him, but a couple of other players, some young players I thought stood out from the draft class. Let's start with Tre'Quan Smith. Only 3 targets. Those 3 catches, they were pretty big, especially 2 of them.
Yeah, well, look, when you look at his college tape, you look at his college stats, he led the nation in yards per catch. I think you're starting to see that translate onto the field. Those were 2 deep routes he caught. One was kind of an improv where, you know, Drew saw him at the last second. The other one was obviously where he was going the whole time. Thought he looked phenomenal. And if he's a little more trustworthy with his hands, I think that could be trouble for Ted Ginn Jr. because he looked awfully natural catching those deep balls from Breeze.
See, that was gonna be my follow up question to Sean over the next couple of days during this break. Need to consider, hey, I need to get Tre'Quan Smith involved.
Yes, 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 and yes. I mean, that kid's player. I mean, he's an explosive playmaker as an explosive element, and if he can be consistent with his hands, like I said, I think he's got a spot and earn more touches.
Marcus Davenport, are we starting to see why the Saints drafted him where they did?
Yes, absolutely. Very disruptive, and he's starting to pick up. He's starting to process the information they're giving him. There was that sack he got, the last sack. he realized he couldn't get the corner on Trent Williams and transferred speed to power to really push him straight back and got that sack. So he's really starting to pick it up, and he can do so much better because if you really slow the game down, he's still not getting that great burst off the snap. He's overcoming that initial first step with his athleticism. So once he gets the rhythm of timing the snap to get off the snap, he'll be even better. But he really looks like the player, or starting to look like the player they envisioned when they drafted him.
Two final questions for Sean Fasan. Sean Fasan, Fox 8, is the way to follow him over on Twitter. Biggest surprise, it could be a good or a bad one, on offense and defense so far through the Saints.
Oh, well, surprise. Look, I'm never surprised at what Drew Brees does, but, I mean, to complete 80% of your passes, he's at 78 for the season, 12 touchdowns, no interceptions. You can make a case this is his best season ever at 39. Mm-hmm. So I'm not surprised at what he does. I'm just surprised that he's even elevated his own resume, which is unbelievable given what he's done so far. So give me Drew Brees on that one. Defensively, I was not expecting to have the number one, rush defense in the NFL at yards per carry, and I think that's legit. I was a little hesitant at first to give him the nod on that, but through the first five games, I think we can all say now that is legit. So that'll be my surprise on the defensive side of the ball.
Hmm. I had Taysom Hill and Marcus Williams. I thought we'd see a little bit more from Marcus with the camp that he had, and Taysom Hill, because I don't think he's a gimmick, man. You're seeing Sean Payton use him in so many areas on this football team. I don't think anybody thought he was going to be playing six different positions. All right, final question for you. Fill in the blank here, right? The Saints are a blank type of football team. What kind of team are they?
I think they're an explosive football team. I think they're going to put up a lot of points. I think they're going to make big plays defensively. May give up some yards from time to time. May blow a coverage from time to time, but I think they're an explosive team. I really do. And I think they're very much in line with kind of this new age of the NFL right now, which is kind of an explosive game. So I think they're an explosive team playing their best football. I mean, we can honestly say within each game, they played a little bit better. Now it gets real after the bye week. So rest up, heal up, get ready to go. But I think they're an explosive team.
All right, easy enough. Sean Fasan, thank you for your time this afternoon at Sean Fasan Fox 8. It's the way to follow him over on Twitter and over on the website as well. He'll blog all of his observations. Thank you, Sean. Appreciate it.
Thanks, bud. Appreciate it.
11 touchdowns, zero interceptions. Yeah, that was his. That's a question of the day we're throwing out there at ESPN Radio. Noli, you can give us a call as well, 800-998-1003. What are the biggest surprises on offense and defense, really? I mean, like I said, I have Taysom Hill. I don't think anyone thought he was going to return kicks, field kicks. You saw him involved in the fake punt against the Giants. Does RPOs, left and right, run pass option. He's throwing it. He should have a touchdown pass.
I saw him selling hot dogs and Cokes.
You did. You saw him in the concession stands. All right, there you go. A concessionaire. I still think, you know what? Why not give him a quick pass on the outside? Again, you see how hard it is to tackle him. He's got some speed.
Can you not see
a wide receiver screen, right? Just Breeze grabbing it and just quickly tossing it out there, or even just giving them a toss. And then he's got a few lead blockers because Michael Thomas loves to block Traquan Smith. I can see that coming here as well. There's so many different things. That's my biggest surprise on offense, honestly.
I predict it's going to happen before the end of the season, where they have one play where he's either going to do a slant or a bubble screen. And once that happens, try to stop him. It's going to happen. It's going to look like a tall, fast Alvin Kamara. I'm serious.
I also think Drew Brees catches a touchdown pass.
He will.
I absolutely think. He hinted at it in the post-game presser. He's like, well, you never know. And he was smiling. I'm telling you, well, why wouldn't they? Because at some point in time, the defensive backs are that far away from him. On a two-point conversion, if Drew's there, Taysom just throws it to him. Now, Drew's going to take a hit. You know, I mean, they're going to pop him. Mm-hmm. So it's got to be one that he can grab, or maybe you put him in a slot and then you throw it at an angle, and then, I mean, if you want to risk that, again, I don't know if you want to do that. But love to get your opinions, 800-998-1003, RDSB and Radio NOLA. What's been your biggest surprise in offense and defense? And for me, like I said, Marcus Williams, I mean, he was having a pick of practice, essentially, in training camp, and I just kind of feel like he's not played as well as he did last year. I could be so wrong on that, and that's fine. Just tell me. And, offer me up something. Coming up, Sharif Eishak's going to come into the studio and hang out with us as we go into hour three. We'll go through every position group and just kind of recap what we have. And I literally have the positions and then blank because we're going to fill in and then we'll try to get a snapshot of what this team looks like into the bye weekend. We'll go over that schedule here as well. A couple of top stories. Colin Kaepernick wants to trademark something. I'll tell you about that as well. But up next, Casey Gisclair will help us preview what's coming up later tonight. Prep Weekly, our weekly high school football show presented from De La Salle High School. It's Casey Gisclair and Marlon Favorite, 6 to 8 every Wednesday. Casey's up next to talk a little prep on ESPN New Orleans.
I must have washed my hands in a muddy stream.
Bright Supermarket is focused on customer service, quality products, competitive prices, and specialized service to the offshore oil industry. Let Frank's catering department do the cooking for you. The bakery has fresh breads and rolls, sandwich trays made daily, veggie trays, chicken salad, homemade chili, cakes, and pies. Need catering for a wedding, bridal shower, funeral, corporate meeting, or home party? Call Frank's Supermarket today in La Rose, Golden Meadow, Lockport, and Des Almas. Online shopping now available at franksupermarket.com.
If you're a paint contractor, the Home Depot is here to save you money. You can get the same or better quality paint as you do at paint stores, but you also get one thing paint stores don't have. Low prices every day on every gallon of high-quality Behr paint, stains, and primers. Plus, for pros, volume discounts. How much are you paying per gallon? At the Home Depot, you pay less for Behr paint every day. The Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only. See store for details.
Deciding when and how to retire is one of the most important financial decisions you'll ever make. Do you take a lump sum? Do you have to pay taxes on this money? How do you invest during retirement to make sure you don't outlive your income? What health insurance plans are available? With such an overwhelming number of questions, the most important decision you can make is to seek the advice of a trusted, qualified advisor. Chris Godet has served the area for over 12 years and has the expertise to work with you to find the right solutions. Give Chris Godet a call at 632-6049.
We're here early before they wake up. We stay late. We stay informed. We invest in the latest technology.
We take the time to train the next generation of doctors and nurses. We work together to make sure we heal their bodies and their minds.
We do this not because it's our job, but because this is about our veterans' lives. This is our mission. More than 300,000 of us working as one, together with families and loved ones. No matter where they live in this country, we'll be there.
We all come together and stand together to serve our veterans. We stand strong, united. Stand with us in caring for our veterans.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Casey Gisclair, as always, joins us on Wednesdays as he and Marlon Favorite do a little prep weekly. Tunes Tuesday. We kind of blew through it yesterday. We apologize. Every Tuesday, Casey, we're going to feature some local music in and out of break, so that's why we're doing it today. Casey, how are you, man?
Doing fine. How about yourself?
Doing good, man. Doing good. Casey underscore just clears the way to follow you over on Twitter. It's a question of the day I'm throwing out there. We always close out with sayings because there's a game coming, but there isn't. So why don't we start with it? Do you have a biggest surprise this season on offense and defense? I did Taysom Hill. I don't think anybody expected him to be used that much in all the different positions. And my biggest surprise, again, it could be good or bad, is Marcus Williams. I thought we'd see a little bit better from him so far.
Taysom Hill's a good answer. The way that he's being used, I mean, heck, if you would have told me at the beginning of the season the Saints would get into scoring territory, they would take Drew Brees out of the game and put him at wide receiver so someone else could take snaps at quarterback, I would have said, man, he's done lost his mind. But that's exactly what they're doing. You know, they're using this guy in those run situations, and he's taking some of the workload off of their backs. I think he's a good answer. And another surprise, you know, along the same lines is, gosh, Drew Brees is going to turn 40 years old in January. He's still an unbelievably gifted quarterback. There's no letting up, no slowing down at all. So
So, I mean, at some point we know it's going to happen, but it doesn't look like it's going to happen anytime soon. So I think that's a little bit of a surprise to me as well.
You know, one of the things, obviously, Casey, that that you look at 4-1 into the bye, it's probably the as good as you could want going into it. So here's your snapshot, I guess, your chance to give us. What do you take out of that 4-1 start so far?
They weathered the storm. They started the season not looking like a very good football team, right? They were giving up points aplenty to Tampa Bay, struggled against Cleveland. They weathered the storm, and you know, they came out of the other side okay. They got to the bye week 4-1, which if you looked at the schedule in the preseason, you said, hey, you know, they probably should be 4-1. You know, had a lot of games they were favored to win, a lot of home games. Didn't always look great, but they got it done. And now they look like they're peaking at the right time. They're getting much better defensively, getting off the field on third down. Going into the bye week, I think they got to be very optimistic about what happens in the second half of the season.
All right, Casey, let's get into it. Talk a little high school football, as always, you and Marlon, 6 to 8 on Wednesdays here, and a lot of topics. And I feel like every Wednesday we're talking about a school called Curtis.
Yeah, you know, last week I got on here, and I told you guys, you know, look, John Curtis is going to be taking on Jesuit, and this is going to be a hard-fought battle. And, you know, look, it was. It was a 7-0 game at halftime. The Blue Jays really challenged these guys and pushed them to their limits. But what happens is, you know, Curtis is so good in every facet of the game. Some weeks you see them score 40-plus points when they need to score 40-plus points. Some games, you know, whenever their defense can control the game, that's what they do. And they limited Jesuit on Friday night to 61 yards of total offense, and that allowed them to turn that 7-0 halftime lead into a 26-0 win. They pulled away throughout the game. Their running game eventually wore on the Blue Jays. Now they're 6-0, only limited the Blue Jays to 61 yards in the game. And, you know, Jesuit's coach after the game said, you know, look, we've seen a lot of teams on film. We've seen a lot of teams, you know, in person. He says it's the best team in Louisiana. Now, that's obviously to be debated. Marlon and I debate that every Wednesday on our show. But throw Curtis's hat in the ring. You know, we got a lot of votes for Ed in the car all the time. We got a lot of votes for University Lab. But John Curtis wants to make it clear they're not conceding any ground to anyone.
It's incredible, really. I mean, 61, that's a ridiculous performance defensively, isn't it?
Oh, it is unbelievable. And for folks that were not at the game. I mean, you get behind 26-0. A lot of those 61 yards came late, came in situations against maybe backups. So for the first, what I understand, 3.5 quarters of that game, they didn't let up anything, hardly any first downs at all. Had a friend of mine explain it. It reminded him of the LSU-Alabama game in the Dome. It was just Jesuit couldn't get anything going offensively at all.
Casey, another team that has a lot of talent, but I feel have been – they've proven themselves so far this season and been in some tough games and have found a way to win. Destrehan.
Yeah, man. Destrehan is an interesting case because they've been in some close games, man. They lost to John Arad earlier in the season. They were in a close one with Hanville, and they were heavily challenged against East St. John on Friday night, which just shows that 7-5A district, if you don't bring it every single week, somebody's going to bring it to you. And the Wildcats really challenged these guys throughout the game, made some big plays offensively. But Destrehan, at the end of the day, it was a special teams play that allowed them to get the win. East St. John scored. They were down 35-28, scored late in the game, didn't convert the extra point. So Destrehan gets the 35-34 win. And the thing with these guys is they have such a multifaceted offense. Usually high school teams, you know, look, they got two or three star players, and they just ride those star players, be it in the backfield or be it as wide receiver, whatever it may be. But this team here is balanced. They've got John Emery, who's the Georgia guy. He's going to be, you know, playing college football from the very first second he gets on campus. And now they're also developing J.R. Blood, their quarterback, who's hitting plays deep down the field, getting their passing game involved. So if defensive coordinators go into that matchup saying, hey, we'll just stack the box against these guys, that ain't going to work now. They're going to throw the ball down the field and make some big plays there as well. So they're going to be a dangerous team to look out for throughout the course of the year. And they're battle-tested. They've won some close games, and that always helps you getting into playoff time.
Casey, it's crazy. We were talking with Destrehan just now, but the last-second sort of last-drive finishes that really kind of highlighted Week 6, that was almost like the theme.
Oh, it's unbelievable. You know, I was heading back home from the game that I called here on the network, which was Assumption and South Lafourche, and we were listening to Ken Trahan's radio report, which you could listen after us every Friday here on ESPN New Orleans. And they were having callers, and every single game was close and coming down to the wire. We talked about Destrehan and East St. John coming down to this extra point. Well, Brother Martin's taking on Bastrop. They're down 25-21. Last play of the game, Brother Martin's at about the 11-yard line. They hit a little out pattern. The receiver gets into the end zone. They get a 28-25 win. So that one came down to the last play. Then Country Day is trailing Newman 31-14 in the fourth quarter, scored three straight touchdowns, 21 unanswered. They rally from 17 down, get a 35-31 win, keep their undefeated streak alive. So anywhere that you looked around the state, man, there were dramatic finishes and teams that were really shining late in the game. And just goes to show, man, you got to play the full 48 minutes in time.
Yeah, no doubt, Casey. I mean, it was crazy to think because a lot of those games went back and forth despite just the last second scores there. A big one coming up here as well. Is Rummel quietly kind of making a little noise here?
I was told before this season by a Rummel fan that, look, you know, this district is tough. We're very young. We lost 20-some-odd seniors last year. Don't expect a whole lot. And then, you know, we get into the season and thinking, okay, you know, maybe that's going to be the case. You know, Rummel opens the season 1-1. They're kind of struggling. And week three, they take on a Riverside Academy team that's kind of down this year. They have trouble putting them away. But since that time, you know, Rummel's really looked good here. They opened district play with Shaw, beat them 42-3. Now, Shaw's kind of rebuilding, so you say to yourself, okay, well, I got to see a little bit more. This past weekend, they made a big statement. Holy Cross is a good football team. They went up toe-to-toe with those guys, beat them 39-3. And now all of a sudden, you're looking at this young rebuilding team starting to get some confidence. They're 5-1. They're roaring. Now they've got maybe their stiffest test yet, a matchup against Jesuit. If they could handle that Jesuit team, keep it close, may find a way to win, you're going to have to start putting these guys into discussion for one of the top teams in the Catholic League, which is unbelievable because, you know, even their own faithful were saying, hey, this is going to be a down year for us. This goes to show the type of program that Jay Roth has out there, that even in their quote-unquote down years, they're still 5-1 and challenging for championships.
It's pretty incredible. Marlon Fayride coming up with you here from 6 to 8 o'clock. What you guys have on deck for us tonight?
Yeah, we're going to talk some De La Salle. De La Salle got a big win. They're now 3-2. They got a big matchup coming up this weekend with the Warriors. We're also going to talk about some Cecilia football. We have their football coach, Dennis Gaines, who will be joining us live tonight. And then we're going to, you know, kind of do something neat. Marlon played with Drew Brees, and, you know, Trey Hand is the son of Norman Hand. He's with us every Wednesday on the show. He's been around the Saints his whole life. He knows some of the guys. So we're going to dedicate a whole segment and just tell some stories about Drew Brees, man, in honor of him breaking that record. So that would be wonderful. Marlon said he's got a few. He was a player that he liked to share. So we'll have a good time, man. It's going to be always a great show. And you know, shout out to the kids at De La Salle. They do an excellent job. They take so much pride in their work. And it really is a great time.
It's awesome, man. Casey, I don't know if you know about the petition here in New Orleans. They're trying to rename Lee Circle. A couple of fans, I guess, started this petition to try to make it Breeze Circle. Look, he's one of those guys that we were trying to have that discussion yesterday. We're going to do this on a show. We'll have you on to talk about it. It's the Mount Rushmore of Louisiana. It's impossible to come down to just four immediately. You're going to have debate and discussion because you can't just, oh, it's these four. It's not. I mean, from coaches to high school players. I mean, Coach Robinson, people called and said, you got to put him in. But to me, Breeze is he not the George Washington figure though on the Mount Rushmore? He's on there.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to say is that, you know, as you were saying Mount Rushmore, Louisiana, I was kind of thinking in my head, Drew Brees is a lock. I mean, he's going to be on there. I mean, you think about it, this football team was so close to not even staying in Louisiana, right? I mean, there were talks about moving and all this stuff. Remember, I was in college when they were playing home games at LSU, and it was just a mess. And then he comes in, and I'll tell you a story. I went to a Zephyrs game the off season that he signed with New Orleans, and this was like in August, and his arm was still in a sling, Gus. Like, I didn't think he'd be able to throw the football at all, and all of a sudden, he's flinging darts in the dome and rocking and rolling. The guy has saved football in Louisiana. He's a surefire lock to be on that Mount Rushmore.
You know what, Casey? That's a great point. I never thought about it that way, but that phrase you just said, he saved football in Louisiana. People forget how close. I mean, again, it's so easy to look at it now, and I know there's been some revisionist history that's happened, but The owner wanted to go. I mean, that's a fact. The NFL said no. I mean, that's a fact. Those are facts. League said no. And to your point, they come back and don't succeed. And Sean Payton's hire is a failure. And Drew Brees doesn't play well. You kind of wonder how long the league could have said no. And I never thought about it like that. Instead, it's the NFC Championship game. 4 years after the return of football in the Dome, you have a Super Bowl. And then the rest is history. Now they're a $1 billion corporation. So, man, it's crazy. It is. Thank you so much, man. I like that. I wrote that down. True. I've never thought about it. He saved football. You can look at it from that perspective. Hey, man, looking forward to tonight. You and Marlon at @Casey_JustClear is the way to follow him over on Twitter. Don't forget Sports Corner in the morning as well. What, 7:30, 9:30, right?
Yes, sir.
All right, man. Thank you so much, Casey. Appreciate it, bud.
You got it, brother.
All right, when we come back next hour, Daniel Salerson tips things off, literally. Next.